At the end of the program, I thank you for listening. I'm going to play the news and play a couple spots, play the news, the weather, and then we'll get back with the sports guys. And we hope to have a guest today, but we shall see. And if not, hopefully John Manfreda will be here, because I know that Bill is in Newark again. So I guess we can't blame him for not getting here, because trying to get out of Newark at 4:30 in the afternoon can be very difficult, and certainly you're not going to get here by 5 o'clock. So we'll see you next Friday, and if anybody has suggestions for the program, please call me at my office. My name is Pat Smits, that's S-M-I-T-S, and call the chamber office and just make suggestions, and we'll certainly always interested in dealing with new issues, with guests, and with specific topics. If you didn't hear us a couple weeks ago, John Manfreda was on, and we were talking about a state law. There are obviously some very interesting issues there. So, see you next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We've taken these actions today after careful consideration, and we'll continue to respond with appropriate action.
White House spokesman Sean Spicer talking about tough new sanctions being placed on Iran after they launched a ballistic missile in violation of treaties. Spicer also talked about rearranging sanctions against Russia.
It's a fairly common practice for the Treasury Department, after sanctions are put in place, to go back and to look at whether or not there needs to be specific carve-outs for different either industries or products and services that need to be going back and forth.
President Trump taking steps to streamline business regulations. He signed an executive action which requires a review of regulations crafted during the Obama administration. Another order seeks to delay a federal rule requiring financial advisors to act in their clients' best interests. The president's pledge to go after the Dodd-Frank law as well. USA Radio News.
You know I work with Ovation Hair, and I'm thrilled with the product. I'm happy to endorse it. My hairstylist just said the other day that my hair color was growing out really fast. She said it's because you use the Ovation products. Your hair has never grown this quickly before. That is true. And now there is a beautiful Valentine's Day gift set. It's got the cell therapy hair treatment, the volume therapy shampoo, and the moisture therapy conditioner. I use all of those every day. Plus, you get whipped mousse that has some hold to it. It's really cool. And then these beautiful hair pins. So you get Ovation hair accessories as well, and they're really pretty. So hurry before they sell out, because this five-piece gift set has a savings of over 50%. And it's really pretty. The box is pink and has a heart on the top. It's real gorgeous. All right, so here's the deal. Go to ovationhair.com, ovationhair.com. And if you're a new customer, select Angie Austin Daybreak USA at checkout for an additional introductory discount. Again, ovationhair.com, ovationhair.com.
The nomination process for Education Secretary Nancy DeVos took a step forward. Here's Chris Barnes.
It was just before dawn in D.C. when the Senate voted to cut off debate on the nomination. The 52-48 party line vote setting up a confirmation vote for Monday. Two Republican senators, including Susan Collins of Maine, are going to vote against DeVos.
I'm concerned that Mrs. DeVos's lack of experience with public schools will make it difficult for her to fully understand and assist with those challenges.
The other turncoat is Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. VP Mike Pence would be expected to break the 50-50 tie. I'm Chris Barnes.
Blackhawk helicopters playing a role in keeping the Super Bowl safe Sunday. Customs and Border Protection agents in Houston plan to use three of the military-grade choppers to monitor restricted airspace around the stadium. Other special purpose aircraft will enforce a no-fly zone within a 30-mile radius of downtown. USA Radio News.
If your pet needed thousands of dollars in vet care, could you afford it? PetSavingsUSA.com members are covered by discounted pet insurance with the first 2 months free. Plus, save up to 50% at every major retailer and receive hundreds of dollars worth of free gifts. To receive 2 months of free pet insurance and an instant $100 in savings, call 877-835-6060. That's 877-835-6060. Or go to PetSavingsUSA.com.
A new survey asked Americans how they felt being Christian was important to being American. Here's Chris Barnes.
God bless the USA.
Almost a third of the people surveyed say they believe it is very important to be Christian to be considered truly American, though another third said they felt religion is not at all important. It's according to the new survey by the Pew Research Center that also found older people and Republicans were more likely to view being Christian as important. 32% of those surveyed say being born in the U.S. is key to being truly American. I'm Chris Barnes.
A California man threw a bomb into a cheesecake factory and ran away. Jason Campidonia has the full story.
The guy opened the door to the Cheesecake Factory on the very busy Colorado Boulevard last night, lit the device, and then threw it into the restaurant. The explosive landed under an unoccupied table, and people were getting trampled as people rushed for the exits. The device exploded, and smoke filled the restaurant. When the dust settled, no one was seriously hurt, and the damage was minimal. People have been sent back to collect their belongings, and the FBI is said to be on the case. Jason Campidonia, NBC News Radio, Los Angeles.
There's a new dating app called Hater, and it's helping connect couples who share similar dislikes. Creators use a profile based on likes and dislikes, and then the app finds possible matches based on the dislikes. The app's creator says he's a comedy writer when he created the idea. USA Radio News.
Well, good afternoon. It's the Sports Guys, and we'll be back, and I hope I'll have Bill on the phone. Bill, can you hear me? Well, I may not have done this right. In any event, we'll be back right after we play a couple spots and tell you about the weather.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Bill, are you there? Okay, good. I don't know if people can hear you. You'll have to talk louder, but let's talk about the weather before we start with the sports guys. So I guess it's not going to be good weather, even if you could have your boat out at this time of year, although tomorrow should be sunny and about 34 degrees, which is, when it's sunny out, it's still nice, even though it's cold. By tomorrow night, the clouds will be increasing, and it's going to be cold. We expect a low of about 17 degrees, and that gets pretty nippy. By Sunday, it'll be up possibly as high as 42 degrees, but it's going to be cloudy. And then on Monday, sounds like it's a great day. It will be mostly sunny and high expected of about 43 degrees. However, then into Monday night, it's partly cloudy, and then we have a chance, about a 30% chance, of a wintry mix because it could be as low as 28 degrees. So that could be some rain and some snow. So in any event, Bill, where are you going to be watching the Super Bowl?
Well, I've been invited with my wife to a friend's house up Hometown Road by the Library facility to watch the opening kickoff. And, you know, there's a real challenge for me because I think my wife and I may be the only American attending. Our hosts are, and many of their friends are foreign born, so I kind of think I'm there to explain the game. That'll be an interesting thing to considering that I don't care for Atlanta and I truly buy the Dallas account.
Well, I definitely am going to be...
Sorry, the New England Patriots, pardon me, it's been a long day.
I was going to say, I'm definitely rooting for Atlanta.
But this could be a very interesting experience.
This could be a very
interesting... Atlanta won something, Pat. Don't you know they haven't won anything since the Braves in, I think, 76 or 77?
Well, let me tell you that it could be very interesting sitting with foreign nationals. I remember a few years ago we were invited to... it was a Packer game at Giant Stadium, and I had a friend who gave us tickets to sit in a box, in their company box. Well, you know, it was, for me, it was very interesting because, of course, the only thing they said is, you know, be sure you behave yourself. But what happened is everybody was back doing business. Dave and I were sitting watching the game, and this man sat next to me from another country and seemed totally perplexed by the game. And so I remember talking to him and saying, would you like me to explain a little bit about the game? And he was very happy to do that. And at the time, Reggie White was playing for the Packers. So, you know, most people just look at the ball and where the ball is going. But I would do a few different things. For example, I said to him, okay, now on this play, watch Reggie White and watch what he does to go and see if he can make sure that the other team does not advance. And it was very interesting. And then I would do something else. And from that standpoint, and just saying to him, now look, see the poles. It's 10 yards, and they will show you how many yards. And of course, at the stadium, it's not like television where they're telling you it's you know, second down and six to go. But I found afterwards, I think he genuinely enjoyed the game because he started to understand a little bit about the strategy.
That's often the case, you know, with a lot of foreign-born people who come to the United States, and it always anyone is who goes someplace else that gets off the beaten tourist track, they become intensely interested in recreation. I've always enjoyed myself going to sporting events in foreign countries.
Oh, I have. Well, I will say that I usually have, except that in some Latin American countries, believe me, when I was literally the only woman in at a soccer meet, it was somewhat disconcerting. And the other thing that I don't like and will never go back to again is a bullfight. I mean, that was just, I was worried about the horses and concerned that the horses were getting gored. So I certainly couldn't appreciate you know, what the bullfighter was doing because I was too concerned about the horses.
Well, I don't know anything about bullfighting, but I was in Spain and watched one on television, and it kind of took all the romance out of you know, all those Hemingway novels in Spain about the Spanish Civil War and the bullfight and blood and sand and the matador. It's just,
well, I can't imagine watching something like a bullfight on television because obviously to enjoy it, if you're going to enjoy it, you know, a big part of it is being in the stadium and seeing all the people and seeing the pageantry. And so it would be too bland on television. Not the same thing as watching tennis. I find it... now, tennis, I find it's you know, you can see it much better on television than you can in the stands, although I do like to go to a tennis match. But there's certain sports that will never have the same feel. I mean, I think the same thing with bull riding. And as you know, I may be the only person in New Jersey who enjoys bull riding. But there's something about seeing it actually in person that's much more interesting than trying to watch it on television.
Well, having been to a rodeo, actually a good one called Calgary Stampede,
Oh, the Calgary Stampede is on my, I know, I don't like to say bucket list, but I would definitely love to go to the Calgary Stampede.
The parade of Mounties in their beautiful red uniforms on amazingly nice horses. Every horse is brown. They're carrying their lances, and there's a band in front of them, and there's a band behind them. They're all trotting along. And the horses are actually almost lockstep. You can get a bunch of horses to do that. It's really very cool. As a child, I had a fascination with Sergeant Preston of the Yukon, an old TV show that my wife and I just found on, in Amazon once again. And we watched two episodes just to remember what it was like. And, the Calgary Stampede is literally Western Canada's main summer event.
Well, guess what? I think since this is Super Bowl weekend, we should probably talk about the Super Bowl. But I found it fascinating.
Are you sure? Oh, shucks.
I really found it fascinating. I grabbed a book because I wanted to talk about a couple of the players on the teams. And so
right
out of the...
That, hit me with your best shot.
Well, it was interesting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Out of 13 quarterbacks, and this book was published in 2015. So, you know, it's not that old. We wouldn't think it was that old. But guess what? The Atlanta Falcons quarterback is not one of the listed quarterbacks.
Why is that?
Well, because at that time...
Matt Kelly had been there for about 8, 9 years.
At that point, he just, Ryan was not obviously considered that good. I mean, the first guy, and I was going to start saying a little bit more about him, but I think most people know it. Obviously, Tom Brady is one of the quarterbacks. Drew Brees, Joe Flacco, Colin Kaepernick, Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, Cam Newton, Phil Rivers, Aaron Rodgers, of course, Ben Roethlisberger, Tony Romo, Matt Stafford, and Russell Wilson. So isn't that, interesting that that's who they considered the top, quarterbacks in 2015? Now, of course, we know Tony Romo isn't playing because he was injured. And, we still would all agree that, Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback and Russell Wilson is a great quarterback. But look how quickly, of course, Peyton isn't playing any longer. He retired. But I thought this was...
Things change.
They change quickly.
One of the cool things about sports is sometimes a team that's been bumping along the bottom for years suddenly finds the right player, the right coach, and they capture a little magic in the bottle, and they become a contending team. I mean, look at Dallas, the classic example. Everything went right for them this season. Up until literally the last play of the Green Bay Packers playoff game. Nobody expected that Tony Romo would get hurt. Nobody expected that Dak would surprise everybody and be as great a quarterback as he seems to be turning into.
I agree.
We knew Dallas would have a good running game.
But, of course, let's remember.
Had good receivers.
We're talking over one another, and I apologize to our audience. I think we can't tell that we need to take a couple seconds after finishing because otherwise we're doing that. But let me ask you something. Probably most people now know that Tom Brady was not drafted until the sixth round in 2000.
I really can't say much about Tom Brady. Candidly, I do not know much about him. I'm not a Tom Brady fan. Most of the play game thing is frankly silly. I don't know why a team that good has to cheat.
Well, I agree. But I think, and I do not like Tom Brady, but I have to admit that for somebody who was drafted in the sixth round, he was 199 overall, and he did take, and we all have to remember, he took the league by storm, because by the end of the 2001-2002 season, he was the starting quarterback for New England. And you know, he was a Super Bowl champion and a Super Bowl MVP. So as good as Aaron Rodgers is, now he was sitting behind Brett Favre, so of course he didn't play, you know, for a number of years. But really, when you think about Brady's rise, I mean, it is truly phenomenal. And he followed that up with another Super Bowl, you know, titles 2003, 2004, second MVP, 2003. Again, you know, he's really been pretty amazing, like him or not. And I guess the question is, for those of us who don't like him, don't like the Patriots, do you think the Falcons can do it?
Running backs, and they play good defense, although defense is not okay. They are a team. I would like to see Atlanta come out and start smoke and fire like they did again last week on the Packers. Atlanta played tremendous defense. They managed to strip the ball and make guy fumble for the first time in his career, and probably the most critical time that I've said to previous had, when Kowski fumbled that ball. It wasn't his fumble, the ball was literally poured away from him as he was about to land on the 2-yard line or into the six. That's an amazing thing. Atlanta's defense just still the best about attacking the ball in the arms of the ball carrier. I was really impressed with how well coached they were and how skilled they were at forcing fumbles and forcing mistakes. And I think we're going to see a very good football game back to that season.
Well, I agree with you, Bill. And I don't know if anyone, I mean, they, you know, the Patriots, if anyone, will be able to stop Julio Jones. But, you know, he was really amazing in the game against the Packers. And I can't remember if he played in the first game that Atlanta played against the Packers. I don't remember. But he also was tremendous in the game with the Seahawks. I mean, he's not somebody that they're going to easily, you know, deal with him, I don't think. So I think that he's one person that I certainly will be watching. And in fact, when you're watching the game with people who, you know, are not used to American football, that might be something to do, is to have them watch Jones when he's on the field. Have them watch somebody like Jones and watch what he does. And, you know, not that they don't have, you know, other good players, but sometimes I find it really much more interesting not to watch you know, the quarterback. And I believe, and I think most people think that Ryan is going to be the MVP this year. Now that gets decided when? After the Super Bowl?
Well, time will tell. As you know, I always like watching the line play. That battle with the ball. You know, they have to throw a ball and catch a ball. But as I said in the sketch, the ability of an offensive line to open a hole and get 4 or 5 yards is very exciting.
Well, guess who just walked in? Right on time. John Manfreda himself. I thought we were going to have a guest today who was really going to be enthusiastic about this game because...
Well, we're enthusiastic. What do you mean, Pat? The second shift is here.
No, but you know what?
I'm going to give you all my insights.
Well, that's good because I have to tell you, as far as I'm concerned, the football season is over.
Well... I share your grief, for lack of a better word.
Bill, you're going to have to listen a little bit because it's going to be hard.
I didn't realize Bill was...
Now, Bill is on with me, and maybe you could get those headphones. But it's also hard to hear you, Bill. So, and I know we keep talking over one another. So, anyway...
Is that you, Bill?
I'm right here, and I'll just sit here and... How's that?
Well, you don't have to do that. It's more fun to have all three of us talk at the same time.
Yeah, I've had a fun afternoon at sport. Everything went surprisingly well. The only bad thing is I have to come back for the other side of the case that came on, and they might not crawl on.
Well, you can't have everything.
Well, that's as Roseanne, Rosanna, Dana, that great sage once said, isn't one thing itself.
Yes, indeed. Anyway, great to hear your voice, or barely hear your voice, and sharing your perspectives on the game. There seems to be a big buildup here. Bill, do you think it's just the two quarterbacks? What do you attribute that to?
I think we are just seeing an NFL hype machine in full gear. For people who are casual fans who really just want to go to a Super Bowl party because they want to go to a party and they want to participate in fun and enjoy the game, camaraderie and socializing. That's just great. They'll learn a lot, and Steve is very good about teaching that thing people and making experiments. Again, also important if they're keeping or follow. I don't really follow either team. But on the other hand, the propaganda machine spitting out information and images and getting the excitement up. So the more eyeballs they get watching the commercials, more money they make. They're $11 billion industry. They're premier event. They have tried to turn this into a national holiday. They have tried to make Monday almost a national holiday right after the Super Bowl. And I am sure that right after final play, all police departments out there looking for truck drivers have either drowned their sorrows or celebrated.
But, you know, it would be a holiday in Wisconsin if the Packers were in and won. The one thing I would say, John, is this would probably be a good year for me to go to a Super Bowl party because I wouldn't be focused on every play of the game.
Well, I wish I had a party to invite you to, but I don't this year. And I think, to your point, Bill, yeah, it's become a national, quasi-national holiday. But what I meant, my opening comment was the national media, not just friends and family who are, you know, I think pretty well, now that we're at Super Bowl 51, for a long time now, it's been viewed as a major party event. But I'm talking about, you know, the media and how they're playing up this game. They're putting a lot of emphasis on Mr. Brady, how he could become the first quarterback to win a fifth ring. The Patriots themselves with their ninth overall appearance in the Super Bowl, you know, and the seventh for Brady. I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff to talk about here. And as you know, I mean, baseball's the king of statistics, but football was not far after that. And do you think it has something to do with these things that I just mentioned, the kind of records that could be broken? That's a good point.
I have a distant relative who was really proud of the fact that he's sitting at the left field stand at Yankee Stadium when Roger Maris hit his 60th run.
There's probably 500,000 people who claim that they saw that home run.
Kind of like the people who claim they were at Woodstock.
Yeah, right.
You know, there would have been 10 million people at Woodstock at the time. But you know, I think that this is an interesting game because I wonder if you polled football fans around the country, what percentage would be rooting for Brady and what percentage would be rooting against him? I mean, I know more
that's
people
a very
that
good
don't
question.
Like him.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I've heard that same thing, Pat, all week, that while he does have a big following, there are a lot of detractors. There are many people who just don't like the whole culture of cheating that surrounds the Kraft administration down through Belichick and to Brady. There is a sense that they are scheming, they are shrewd, they are not necessarily always performing with the best light of sportsmanship. You know, I'll never forget the play where they sent in the tackle and you have to report to the referee. So that's for a tackle eligible play. So they send a tackle in, and he says to the referee, whispering, "I'm not eligible." Well, the defense doesn't know that.
Wow.
They think he's reporting in because he is eligible, so they got to put a guy on him. And sure enough, they throw it the other way. Well, after the game, Belichick says, "Well, there's nothing in the rules that says you can't send somebody in and tell the referee that you're not eligible. You're supposed to tell them the only affirmative obligation you have is when you want to be tackle eligible, then you have to tell them." But the point of that is, okay, you get an A for being clever and shrewd, but you get an F for sportsmanlike.
Absolutely.
And that's why I dislike the franchise and don't accept it as, you know, a national treasure that people in New England. Now, everybody here knows I'm from Boston. I'm a big Red Sox fan. And but there's a big difference between the Red Sox and the Patriots. The Red Sox have had a recent tradition of winning, but they are very high on good sportsmanship. And there's many, many instances in what, not just the charitable work and everything, but what they've done for other teams. It's the antithesis of the Patriots, where for years, the reason they have the rule now about if the visiting team's radio isn't working, that you have to do a whole bunch of things and shut everything down, that came out of Foxborough. Because everybody said, when you go to Foxborough, don't count on your radios working. The second thing they said was, the locker room was bugged. I mean, you know, you hear these things, and people laugh and shrug around. But, you know, I think these are the kind of things where there's smoke, there's fire. And when you're in, it's what happened with Deflategate. All right, you had some ball boys fooling around with the balls. Well, it's pretty clear. And then Tom Brady loses his cell phone. Well, it doesn't take much to connect those dots. And
right.
I think, Pat, to your point, there are many, many detractors of the Patriots.
Well, I think the thing about the ball, the deflating the balls, is nobody would have believed that Brady didn't know it.
Exactly. I mean,
you know, that's
exactly
the point.
Whether he
was in on it when he got that ball in his hand,
he knew. He absolutely. That's like a batter not knowing the exact number of ounces in his bat, like he's got a cork back or something.
Right.
You're exactly right. He knew damn well.
So he, at that point, should have said, "Hey, you know, these are not, you know, the balls I should be using. And what I didn't know until that time is that each team gets their own balls.
Right. Well, so that, right. And but now those teams are, because of the Brady situation, they have to now be in the custody. There's a chain of custody rule with the balls.
Yeah, but there wasn't before, and nobody ever thought that.
That's the point. And that's the point. And that is, again, symptomatic of this sickness up there in Foxborough, where, oh, we're going to send the tackle in and say he's not eligible. It's always this kind of thing that just, you know, ruffles everybody's. No, it's not explicit cheating, but it's bad sportsmanship. Well, the Deflate thing was cheating.
Yes,
and for
was.
Them to poo-poo it the way they did. Why do you think Goodell gave him a four-game suspension? His message is, don't anybody fool around with the football. You're compromising the integrity of our sport.
And we make billions and billions of dollars, and we want to make it, you know, this is not wrestling.
Right. This has got to be above reproach.
Right. And I apologize for everybody who follows wrestling, but we do know that it's scripted.
Well, but that's part of it. It's entertainment. And the other thing we do know is that the wrestlers are world-class athletes. We know that.
Right.
But it's part of their, you know, franchise, if you will.
Well,
they know who's going to win going in. They know exactly what's going to happen.
And it's scripted so they don't get killed.
Correct, because they could kill each other.
Oh, absolutely they could.
So in a sense, to your point, accolades to the athletes, but let's treat it for what it is, kind of a glorified soap opera in the ring, and people in the know exactly what's going to happen. So, Bill, I don't know, you haven't had a word in edgewise here the last couple of minutes. You want to comment? There you go.
John, you may remember during the Rich Kotite era, New York Jets, Belichick sent spies to watch their practice. Now, the Jets went 2-14 that year. You couldn't give away Jets jerseys, coats and jackets, as nice as they might have looked. But the Patriots got themselves into trouble and lost a second, third round draft choice, if I'm correct, remember correctly, because they filmed a Jet practice 2 weeks before they were going to play, but it was just 5 weeks. And they practicing come back from being off for a few days. They were getting a practice against the Patriots, and they lost something like 33-3.
Yeah, well, you see, I think this is why, and you've heard me say this, Bill, it's Nixonian in its application. You know, Richard Nixon, who otherwise would have went down as one of the greatest presidents, certainly a top five president of all time, Richard Nixon, he was so obsessed with winning that they had the break-in, which you know, came back to he knew about it and so forth. There was no chance that he was going to lose that election in 72. None. Zippo. Yet Watergate happened. Well, he won it 49-1, and everybody said if Watergate never happened, he would have won it 49-1.
Right.
That was Brady's point about, you know, the playoff game with the Colts and the Deflategate, that they beat him like 42-14. That's not the point.
Right. That's a so what. And, you know, frankly, if you go back and look at Nixon in the past, historically, he was a pretty dirty campaigner. And so, in some ways, that wasn't unusual, and he was so paranoid. On the other hand, John, you're absolutely right. He didn't need to do it. And look at Brady. I mean, who would have ever predicted? He was a sixth-round pick in 2000, 199.
Yep.
I mean, he did have something to prove. I think just like Aaron Rodgers, he did have something to prove. But, I mean, he proved it very quickly.
Yeah. Well, not only that, the big difference there is in college, Brady didn't have a great record. He didn't play that much. Ironically, at Michigan, he was behind, who was the kid who, wound up going to Miami, I think. A big outstanding first pick. So he didn't get to play all that much. And he didn't have a great record in college.
Well, look at Aaron Rodgers. He started off at a community
college. Because that again, Brady and Rodgers have that in common. They'll go to their graves obsessed with the hatred for the system and how they weren't viewed as natural talent, that they had to prove themselves, and they turned it into motivation to become the best. But it had its genesis in almost an obsessive hatred for what happened to them, and that's sad in a way. And you have to admire their physical talent, as you just stated, Pat. But you call a spade a spade. That is what it is. Yes, Bill.
Some of the teams they play, like Cleveland or the Jets, they don't have to be at their best. So why bother? On the other hand, you've got some very talented people on the Patriots, and you've got to wonder what the message is that it sends from people that think, well, you know, we can chisel a little bit to get ahead. Too much of that pervasive and professional.
Well, I don't mean to cut you off, but why don't we talk a little bit about the Super Bowl on Sunday? I'd like to hear from John, and both you and Bill also. How do you think they can stop Julio Jones?
Well, I don't think you stop him, Bill. You may have a different defensive scheme in mind, but what you can do is obviously you have to double team him, and you have to have a rolling secondary that's going to, you know, in effect, cordon off how much ground they're going to give him. So he may catch 6, 8, 9 balls, but even if he gets 10, 15, 20 yards a catch, you can't let him burn you on that 50-yarder.
And how do you keep Matt Ryan from throwing that 50-yarder?
Well, clearly, and I agree with Bill, it's the old bump and run. You've got to attack the wide receivers at the line of scrimmage. You've got to make contact inside the 5 yards. What is difficult with Jones is that when you contact him, let's say, inches over the line of scrimmage, you're right up against him. He is so big and fast that he will, in effect, push you aside and go around you. So if you're not giving 5 or 10 yards, you run the risk that literally in 1 second, he's got 5 yards separation on you. That's why when they are going to play bump and run, as Bill suggests, and I agree, they've got to have somebody in the secondary backing that right up. So you're allocating a lot of resources there, but otherwise he's going to eat you alive. So I think that's the only way you will stop. They're going to have to allocate resources to stop Jones or limit his damage. But that does open up the field for the running backs coming out of the backfield. I mean, we've seen the Patriots do that for years now without big wide receivers. Brady hits his backs coming out of the backfield. Well, Matt Ryan does the same thing. And look which two teams are in the Super Bowl.
Yep. Well, you know, but it was interesting when I watched the Packer-Falcons. I think it was maybe the third drive, when the Falcons had the ball. They had recovered that fumble, but they were back in the end zone. And you know how hard it is. I mean, I see the Packers struggle when they're down on the first or second yard line to get that ball. 20 yards. You know, Julio Jones just 20 yards.
Yeah, he got him right out of the hole.
And that's the kind of thing. So once you're down out of the hole, then everybody
it opens up every your whole playbook.
And they were frankly doing... you know, yes, it might have just been, you know, 10 yards a pop, but they were getting that first and 10 every time.
Well, Pat, and I know this game will stick in your craw until next September, but again, the Packers got pretty far, and they were decimated with injuries. So by the time they met the Falcons, they just didn't have the talent available to slow down that vaunted offense. Had they played the Falcons the first round instead of the Giants, they might – I still think Atlanta would have won the game, but it would have been a lot closer. But by the time the Packers played the Falcons, they just did not have the people available to stop the weapons that Atlanta has on offense. And, again, people are drawing these same conclusions with New England top-rated defense. But New England is not the 85 Bears. Not the 2000 Ravens, where they just crush you in your place. The Patriots' defense is a bend and break, all right? So they give up yards, but they stop people. Like, there was some statistic, they stopped about 20 or 30 drives inside the 10-yard line.
That's
so
amazing.
They just don't let you get, you know, score.
Once they're in the red zone, and
yeah,
that is
in the
so
red zone,
important.
They are clearly the best. But I think Atlanta knows this, and Matt Ryan. That's when they are not in the red zone, but you know, in the pink zone. Let's say the 30, 40 yards out. I think Matt Ryan's going to be thrown into the end zone because he doesn't want to wind up on the 5 to 10 yard line.
Well, I also think after watching them play the Packers, they can't just think he's going to sit back there and throw because he can run.
Oh, Matt Ryan absolutely.
And,
yes.
And so,
and Tom Brady is not going to run.
Well, Tom Brady doesn't, but when they're close and when they're in the red zone, they still can't ignore that Matt Ryan could run that ball into the end zone.
Correct.
In some ways, he actually reminded me a little bit of Aaron Rodgers.
Well, yeah, he's a younger Rodgers. He's a little bit, what, 5 years younger than Rodgers?
Oh, I'm sure, at least.
Okay? And he's built the same way. He throws the ball similarly, a lot of zip on it. There's a lot of I would give the slight edge to Aaron Rodgers, but some of that's experience. But a little bit better, but Ryan is right up there.
How long has he been playing? Bill and I.
This is Matt Ryan's eighth year out of Boston College. He won 3 bowl games at BC. A couple of those were blowout wins. He beat West Virginia Virginia Tech at a time when Virginia Tech was a top 5 team. Matt Ryan went into Morgantown and mowed them down. I mean, that's why they call him Matty Ice. This is a guy who is out of the Philadelphia area and is afraid of nothing.
Well, you know, what's interesting, though, I brought with me today, because I wasn't sure either of you guys would show up. And I was
come on. Super Bowl Friday, please.
I was going to talk
She meant that in jest, Bill.
I was going to talk a little bit about Brady and Ryan. Not that I know a lot about them. But I brought this book along that it's called Football Now. In 2015, Matt Ryan was not even in the book as one of the quarterbacks, the 14 quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So that
I think part of the problem is, you know, his first 5 or 6 years, the Falcons really did not have a great offensive line. They didn't have a running game. They just didn't win that much because he didn't have a lot of talent around him. They traded for Julio Jones, I believe, and some other receivers. And once that offensive line was intact and they added the running backs, well, heck, a quarterback can do a lot of damage when he's got those weapons. Bill?
Yeah. Oh, I quite agree. I think that Matt Ryan...
Bill, we may have lost you. Are you still there?
No, he's on.
I'm still here. I can hear you. You wanted me to talk about Matt Ryan. Ryan went to Penn Charter High School just outside of Philly. I think he's from Exton or Exmoor. And yes, he did go to BC where he had a very good career. I think Ryan is a clean quarterback, though, that if he gets under pressure and he forces the back pedal and throw off his back foot, which he does pretty well because he's got a very strong arm, but you never know. That's the one of the ways that New England can force the Atlanta Falcons into a mistake or two. If they get a good pass rush, if they're going to use a safety blitz here and there while they're covering Julio Jones, because receiving four after Julio has been quite a drop off. I think that it's important to throw off the back foot of safety pressure, sentiment lift. You're going to see the importance of the stakes. And I think Belichick and Drew were clever enough to hook up defensive players just like that. They're going full offensive lines.
So does anybody think that our friend Mr. Brady will retire if he wins the Super Bowl?
I hadn't even given that a thought, Pat.
What do you think, John? Any chance of Brady retiring if he wins another Super
no,
Bowl?
No, no. I he claims he wants to play another 4 or 5 years.
Well, wait, he's what, 39?
39. He could. He's physically gifted where he could play a couple more years. But you never. I think there's no chance he retires after this year.
What if he loses? Then he definitely wouldn't retire.
He definitely wouldn't retire, yeah.
I think he's back.
Yeah.
So what other changes, do you think that... how many free agents are there? One of the things that I have to predict, and you guys can tell me next year if I'm right, I think the Cowboys next year are going to be an awesome team. If they don't
lose...
If they
have a good draft, and
they don't lose people, right. they're really going to be...
They are definitely the team to beat in the NFC East.
I think so. I mean, unless Dak Peterson was a Colin Kaepernick, and I don't think he is. I mean, I think he's better than Colin Kaepernick, and I watched that Packer-San Francisco playoff game when Colin Kaepernick looked like he was the next Messiah. I mean, he just looked unbeatable. But I think the Cowboys really have, if they don't lose any of their good team, their players, and if they, are relatively injury-free, pick up a few good draft picks. I think, unfortunately, it's going to be Jerry Jones' year again next year, and I feel a little bit sorry for you Eagle fans and Giant fans. Luckily, they
don't
know
about sorry.
Division.
I mean, look, the Giants beat Dallas twice this year.
Yeah, but that was a fluke.
You beat a team twice. Maybe once it's a fluke. I don't think the Dallas Cowboys wanted to play the Giants at all. They were definitely rooting for Green Bay to win that game. And they didn't want to play the Giants again. But I think they were afraid of Eli Manning pulling one out. And the Giants were a player or two. I will counter with this. The NFC East is about to become the premier division in just two bad years. When you look at, I do think the Eagles with Wentz will be better if they have a good draft. They could be a playoff caliber team. I think the Giants will get better. I think Beckham is going to come back. He now has the motivation and the maturity. I mean, they're saying this offseason.
How can he?
I think you're going to see a very different, because he knows he lost that play. If he catches that ball. And there's a touchdown. I think the Giants win that game, all right? And they let a Hail Mary beat them. And then they fell. After that, it was downhill. I think Beckham has 6 months to sit, or 9 months, I guess, to sit and think about that. And then with Washington, I don't know. You don't know. Kirk Cousins really faded in the end. I don't know, but I wouldn't count them out. But I still think the NFC East is going to be great. And that's one other comment I'll make about the New England Patriots. They have been blessed to be in a division for the last 20 years in which the other three teams have been irrelevant.
You're right. You're absolutely
so,
right.
Yes, they've won 14 of the last 16 years. No kidding. Any other decent team would have won the AFC East 14 out of the last 16 years. When's the last time the Buffalo Bills were relevant? When's the last time the Miami Dolphins were relevant? And I don't even have to ask the last time the New York Jets were relevant. Those three teams, I will bet without even checking the record, that those three teams' combined record, the Jets, Bills, and Dolphins, are worse than any other three teams and any other division in the NFL. There's no question in my mind.
And I agree, but the only thing that is always surprising to me is how many times the Patriots have won the Super Bowl. Okay?
You well, they've won four. The Giants have won four.
But the Packers have won four. No, but Brady has, what, won four or lost two.
But he's done that in this 17-year run.
Well, I understand.
When they were given a playoff game, and most of those years had a first-round bye, because, I mean, if you're playing in a division like that, you're guaranteed 11 or 12 wins.
No, I understand. But when it gets to the Super Bowl, he didn't lose four and win two. It was the reverse. So you would have thought that the NFC was a would have had better teams playing in the Super Bowls. That they would have, I would have thought that they would have won more games.
I'm not sure I follow your point there, Pat.
Well, if Brady was in, hasn't he been in?
He's been in six Super Bowls, lost the two to the Giants,
and he's won four.
Yeah. So the NFC East is 2-0 against Brady.
I understand, but overall, I would have thought the NFC would have, you know, if in fact there was such a difference between the two, I would have thought that they would have won more.
Well, no. But my point is, when you are in a weak division, you can play your season a whole lot different to peak in the playoffs.
Oh, I see your point.
And that you're going to be a lot healthier. You can rest your. What's that, Bill?
John's point is well taken.
Okay.
You've got at least 4 to 6 games.
That are automatic wins.
They're gimmies.
Right? Yeah.
And maybe what you're saying is easy games, so they're not out there getting hurt.
They're not stressed. They're not out there getting hurt. You know. So you've got to factor that in, you know.
Well, that is true. You have to look at any team.
They play the Dolphins, who are improved over the years. Are not quite a gimme. But the Jets are really in a continuous rebuilding cycle. And some of the Bills, they just got rid of their coach. They will be rebuilding for a long time. I think the last time the Bills were good
was when they lost their fourth Super Bowl.
Yeah, and Jack Kemp was decided that he had enough of football and he was going to run for office.
Hey, guys, you know what? I'm going to cut us off because we haven't played any spots, so we're going
to... Well, before we do that, Pat,
but shortly I'm going to cut us off. And then, Bill, we really appreciate that you called in, but we definitely need your prediction for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we need the official, here we are, we've been waiting all year for this. And we'll be here a year from today doing it again. So, Bill, for this Super Bowl, lead it off with your prediction, a score, and maybe a 30-second description of why.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb. I think Atlanta is going to bring home all the bacon. I think Atlanta 31.
I'm sorry, we can't hear you.
31-27, Bill?
27. Call me irresponsible. I think Julio Jones has the game of a lifetime. I think Matt Ryan shows us he's ready for prime time. And I think Tom Brady plays his heart out, but just doesn't get it done.
Okay.
Well, that's interesting. Go ahead, John.
My prediction is 36-32 Atlanta. Winning the Super Bowl. The odd score is coming on a couple of missed extra points and a safety. And
whoa.
I think Matt Ryan will win it late. I think the Falcons go up early. The Patriots come back to take a lead into the fourth quarter. And Matt Ryan, the torch is going to be passed, and Ryan is going to emerge from this game with a come-from-behind victory.
Okay. We're all pretty close in scores because before you guys started, I wrote down Atlanta 30 and the Patriots 27.
Okay. We're pretty
close.
Because
I think they're both going to have some trouble down in the red zone. So the reason I came up with the 30 is that I think